Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The House of Black. I know it's been a minute, and I know it seems a little somber that I'm talking, but this is more of an episode of reflection, because recently I woke up with some deep thoughts in some cases, and I want to get a little bit deeper in this episode of thoughts. Because of two things. One, my reputation, and two, my existence. And they don't have nothing to relate to each other, but at the same time, it's me. So the first thing I want to do is talk about my reputation. As within this year, I have had two former friends no longer associate with me. Now, for those who are not up to date of it, I am a photographer. I have been a photographer for the last 8-9 years. This is going on the 9th year in professional photography. And recently, I have lost the association of not one, but I think two, three people. And earlier this month, coming up, by the time this episode is out, is my birthday. And I had to talk to my best friend, Brittany. Shout out to Brittany, who I've known for almost those same 9 years that I got into photography. She ended up working at an event as a model for an event that's brought together by a talent agency that's starting to be built. And that agency ended up working with ended up also having another model who basically was one of the ones that no longer associated me, who basically cut me off. They had her there, and Brittany ran into her, and I had to ask Brittany if they had any mutual conversations or anything about me. And Brittany had to let me know, she did not mention about you. We barely even talked. And that moment, that situation had indulged me on the fact that I realized that this is becoming a vicious cycle for me on that sense of it. I don't want to put my best friend through this situation. I really don't. She doesn't deserve that. I appreciate Brittany so much. I love her so much. She has been the stone wall to help me balance a lot of my things. And sometimes she's also been the voice of reason for me. When my mom can't be the person who understands because it's a generational thing with some people, my best friend is that a voice of reason. And I love her and I appreciate her so goddamn much. And I'm scared every day of my stupidity, of my actions, might be the reason why she is, for all I know, either she'll intolerate me for how long, or she'll no longer associate with me. It's a scary thing for me. One of the models, the model who she ran into, didn't say much to her, but I was afraid. But the reason why we ended up not no longer associating the other is because she says it was the simple fact of me wanting to shoot boudoir. Now, I have always stated that when it comes to boudoir, I never make it mandatory. I either offer it two ways. Either I offer it as optional, or I offer it as part of a two-pack sense of a package deal with my photography. I shoot fluid fashion, and if you're interested, maybe one or two boudoir shots, if interested. Sometimes that's not always the case of an offer. Sometimes you don't have to do it. There are models who do exist who have not done boudoir with me, who refuse to shoot boudoir, which is completely fine. And I respect them for that. I need people to understand. The guy I was 5 years ago who wanted to shoot boudoir more than fashion, that's not me anymore. I don't want to be associated with that anymore. I'm trying my hardest not to associate with that anymore. Not to mention, me being on the spectrum, which is why I've told many times to my friends and some people who are like, you don't need to talk about your autism. I'm like, no, that's part of the reason why I feel some women are uncomfortable, because there are two other models. One who I'm friends with, and I was friends who I'm still on the friends Facebook with, but no longer associates with me technically. And there are two of them who are like that. A photographer who's that way and the model who's that way. They don't talk to me. They don't associate with me, but they're still friends with me on Facebook. If I comment on anything they post, they'll ignore my comment. If I send any complimentary or birthday wishes, they'll ignore it. So it's just Facebook spam if it is. That's what I am to them. Then there are, then there's like one other model who is friends with Brittany, close friends with Brittany, who basically told Brittany, because I had to tell Brittany, I had to ask Brittany, because they never said anything to me. Brittany was the one I had to tell them. I had to ask her, did I make them uncomfortable? And she had to tell me, yes, made them uncomfortable, which is why I didn't want to shoot with you. And I got upset with that. Now, at that time, when I did, that was the last time I believe I was more upstrated. When I'm in a high enthusiasm and I'm let down to some extent of it, and I don't know if this is an autism thing or not, but I get down, it goes in stages. It gets upset, then angry, then depressed, then emotional. But most times when I'm angry, in that stage of anger, I lash out. And I didn't lash out at Brittany, but I was angry enough that I deleted one of the people, which Brittany said, I didn't have to do that. Now, looking back now, I'm not angry. It's just, I'm just a little disappointed, because when it comes to shooting those people, when I've already shot with them, especially if we shot more than once, the work that I've done with them, I can no longer use, because I don't feel professional to use their work. In the sense of that. And then there's another model who paid me for a shoot that this one, honestly, I can't honestly be upset with. I just laugh at it because the model is delusional. So this model, who is a local in Toledo, paid me and picked up to bring me to her place to shoot in her home. And the location that she was at, that was what it was. And then at one point, she wanted the raws. Now, if you know the world of photography, that's the number one rule you can't do. You cannot give raws. We do not give raws. There's no point in us giving you the raw shots, none. But what she didn't realize is I shoot in a larger quality for my raws. The size of my photos in raw format are about the equivalent to a Muriel. That's how big they are. So when you have that big Muriel, a big data on that, it's a big space as well. The files are big. So, but she wanted them. I gave them to her. Now she realizes, oh, I can't use them because they're too big and I can't shrink them down to the smaller size because you don't have the proper photo equipment and the proper photo editing software, which is what you need to do that. So because of that, she's pissed with me to the point where I told her, if I edit them and post them, I'll just let sure you know which ones is which. So one time I sent her a post saying, I'm going to post these. Are these okay? And the retort she gave me was just hilarious. No, I don't. I trusted you. I paid you. I had you come here and send some of it. And you gave me these photos and I can't use them because they're too big. Well, ma'am, this is why we photographers, and I warned her. Even before we shot, I said, I need you to understand, I give you the raws, they're going to be too big. They're going to be too big. They are. Oh, yeah, still. I still want them. I still want them. Okay. This is why we tell you models, when it comes to us shooting, it's better to let us handle the editing to your liking than try to do it yourself with raw photos. We don't shoot JPEG in large quality. That's a setting in the camera, but we don't shoot that. We never shoot JPEG. There is a feature in some DSLRs. There is a mode where you can shoot you can shoot photography in slash raw slash JPEG, where it'll double the copies. So you'll get a copy of the photo in JPEG, and then you'll get a copy of the photo in raw. CR2. Now, you have to have an appropriate photo editing software like Adobe Lightroom to edit those photos or even see those photos. You cannot use Photoshop. You cannot use Paint to change the size of the photos or anything like that. We make it clear. That's why we shoot raw. Unless you have that software yourself or you're a photographer yourself with that ability, you cannot. Now, I have done one time given raws to a photographer model who also happens to be model who I work with. And everything went fine. All I asked her was just give me credit. Now, I don't know if she's ever posted those photos. I don't remember because it's been such a long time. But yeah. So that's the case of it. But even those cases with models like the one that I mentioned who was upset with me on the raws, because I gave her the raws that she can't use. When it comes to stuff like those people who cut me out, I'm not losing sweat. And those photos, I still believe that deserves to be used, but I'm not making a sweat about her being angry. I just won't tag her. And it seems appropriate because the only photographer that she's worked with is a photographer in LA who has his own magazine. Other than that, there's no other photographer she has worked with other than taking photos herself. So she's delusional. So with that being said, I'm not losing any sleep over that. Those models, I'm not going to be disrespectful or angry or rhetorically angry against. I just laugh at it. But I'm not going to lose sleep over it. The other model, the one who associated with Britney, the two that associated with Britney, the one that ended up cutting me and all such, I'm not losing sleep over. I'm upset, but I'm moving on. It's just, again, a waste of beautiful work that I cannot use now, which I have a clear through now. The cosplayer that I mentioned who associated with another person, there's a cosplayer who I worked with who had dealt with a lot of health conditions, and she no longer associates with me because she was told by somebody else who I guess she associated with about my actions of uncomfort. Now, I'm going to not lie. With people like her and everyone before her who cut me out because of those same reasons, I wish I could tell you that I know what I did, but I don't. For some reason, my memory is being very terrible. But I know that it must have been something. It must have been something that I was terrible in, and that guilt still eats me up to the point that I've always forwarded an apology. And I don't want it to come to the point where I'm making an apology to rechristen an opportunity to work with them again. It's not. The damage has been done. I know that. A woman's trust is very valuable. And some people, including my own gender, don't realize that. So that trust in the professionalism of my work, I completely understand they no longer have. I get it. So I'm not asking for forgiveness in the sense of, I want to work with you again. I'm not asking that because I know that's a ship sailed. Friendship, I would love to have again, but I understand some people that's hard to do that either. My only request, other than your forgiveness to any of the women out there who are watching this, who have cut me out for that same reason, my only request is please don't associate your experience with me to the work that I've been doing recently with the recent people that I work with. I don't want that tarnished on every single person I'm with. You can blacklist me if you want to. You can no longer work with me if you want to. You can no longer talk to me. You don't even have to use my work anymore if it comes to it. My request is just please don't try to tell other models that I work with now about my work of it. And again, I'm not saying that I did something. And let me address to the audience out there. I've never done anything sexually assaulting or harassed wise. Now, I have said unfortunate complimentary things that were a little bit uncomfortable. I may have done that, but that was during my early years. I may have done things that taken advantage of emotional situations. And I may have gone to a social point where it seemed like it was uncomfortable for me on that end of it. Sometimes I like to believe that's my autism. I believe so, because I'm not going to lie, it's a lot to take in when you're trying to be social with somebody who's on the spectrum. And I don't think some people know how to deal with that, which is why they feel uncomfortable. And again, I understand that. I am a very, very hard thing to swallow. But I don't want you to feel that it gives you the right to tell other people who don't know me, who have barely worked with me, oh, this is how he is. Because I know that's what it is. I know what it is. By the time this video comes, this episode comes out, I will officially be 40, which I believe in my own terminology, that makes me an old man. And the last thing I want is to associate with all the old men who are creeps with cameras, not the old photographers. I'm getting to that point in my age now where I, knowing that I am an uncle and I of two girls, two nieces, and I'm scared of once they get to their age that it's going to be appropriate for them to deal with situations like that. It's why I've been slowly converting myself to doing fashion and cosplay stuff in between, because I want to try to live myself away from stuff in the boudoir sense of it, unless it's optional with the model. And again, most of the new clients that I'm working with, I always tell them it's optional. We can just do fashion. I've always made it clear. But I will say, and this is the one thing that I want to make sure for everybody who in the past or present works with me, who is uncomfortable because of my social skills. You need to understand, if it's my social skills, that is what you're uncomfortable with. That is what happens when you're talking to somebody who's antisocial. That is something you have to understand. If you're not okay with talking to some me as an antisocial because of my social skills that finds you uncomfortable, you're going to be like that with a lot of other people on the spectrum who are antisocial. And that's not me just saying you're going to have to sit there and spin to deal with it. I'm just saying if I'm bad, you're going to meet way worse. That's the one thing I will not forgive, if that's the reason why you no longer want to associate with me, is my social skills. It's hard enough to have a conversation with you and get to know you than just being quiet and taking photos. I can't be the one to deal with silence in my work. I don't. I am not the one. If it's uncomfortable because I'm chatty to you with my work while I'm doing my work, if it's that uncomfortable for you, okay. But just know, it ain't going to be just me that's on the spectrum that you're going to have to deal with that. That just tells me right there, in my personal opinion, you don't know how to talk to somebody who's antisocial on the spectrum. And you need to fix that. But if it's anything else, anything of looting that I may have said, or anything that I have spoken to you negatively in a sense of it, if those things or the shots didn't look good to you, or the way that I have handled my photography to you was uncomfortable on that ends of it, okay, I deeply apologize for that, but I will not forgive my social skills is being the reason you're uncomfortable with working with me, because I'm just being my autistic self. It's the one thing that pisses me off is when people don't want to associate with me because I'm autistic. That's no different than you trying to say, I don't want to associate with you because you're black. And I've only had one model who was a closet racist. The moment she posted, I worked with her. We did amazing stuff together. But then a few months later, she posts about Blue Lives Matter and saying Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. And me as a black man am not going to be quiet about that. And I literally said to her in the same sense of it, I'll be civil with you, but just know this. You being that way, basically saying I'm a terrorist when I worked with you and I've talked to you and I've had a communication with you, working with you together, that's just disrespectful. And if you think that my culture is a terrorist group of a sense of it, because we're protesting to have equality for our culture, for my culture, then you might as well put a gun to my head. And she was pissed about that, to the point that every one of my friends, including the ones including a few who no longer associate with me, somebody unsurprisingly, basically said, oh, no, you're a bitch. You're a bitch for saying that to him. And then, to make things worse, she ends up telling another photographer who didn't like the fact that I made one little mistake, which was I put a photo of her out, covered her face with an emoji, and I happened to, unfortunately, by coincidence, put a poop emoji over her face. He didn't like the fact that I did that and posted it. And he basically said, that's disrespectful to models. And she used that along with his retort as a ammunition to go and violate and tell people about me. Oh, we don't want to work. You shouldn't work with this guy. You shouldn't work with this guy. He would say, you shouldn't work with this guy because of the poop emoji photo and stuff like that. She said, you can't work with him because he's being racist or such, which we all know. Black people can't be racist. You cannot be. Black people cannot be racist to white people. We cannot. And the girl's white. So I had to have many of my friends who supported me to vouch for me and defend me for that. But at one point, I was panicking. So that's been the only experience I've had with racism in my work. But like I said before, one thing I cannot stand is that in my work of it, as well as the fact that you decide to work with me knowing that your beliefs and propaganda goes against my own culture. That's just a spit in the face. Now, aside from that, when it comes to my work with some models no longer, with those situations, like I said, there are many other models who won't tell me why they won't work with me other than their uncomfort. And I'm not going to try to grasp at straws, but apologize for that. That's not me. I'm not trying to be that person anymore. The last few shoots I've been doing for the last two years, I have made sure that it stays on the professional end. I don't have a studio other than my home that I live in. I don't have a big, amazing, expensive equipment, but I have what I can and what I can salvage. And every single time with all my work, I try to make sure people know that I am doing my damn best in what I enjoy doing. I enjoy doing my photography, whether I do it for money or I do it for free. I enjoy it. And the last thing I want to keep having is the same reputation because of my past actions that I did not learn. Because you have to remember, I had to self-teach myself photography. I didn't take classes. I didn't go to an art school. I self-taught for the last 9 years because I was passionate about this. So I will end this part of the conversation on this with that moment. Now, with that situation, I'm sorry if I offended you from over the years or made things uncomfortable with you, but I will now apologize for my disability of social on antisocialism is the reason of your uncomfort. And I will not apologize of being pride of my race, being the reason of your work, of my work with you in a sense of it, is enough for you to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to apologize for either of those. But if there's any other reasons, whether it's the fact that I've conversed you to try to do more boudoir instead of that back then, or the work didn't look good for you, that the shots that I wasn't up to the par, I apologize for all those other things. But the other two things I mentioned before, I will not apologize for. Those things I cannot help who I am. It's what I was born. It's what you are going to have to accept and learn to deal with. You don't want to work with a guy who's that much openly antisocial and yet he's willing to be a lot chatty. You don't want to do that. Deal with photographers who are willing to be quiet as fuck. You don't want to deal with a photographer who very open, private in the sense of his race of it, who's very open on that, especially if he's not a Trump support, if he's a non-anti-Trump, then don't work with me. Know what you're getting into when it comes to that. But I at least know there are still some people who have worked with me for the last 8-9 years and will continue to work with me, and not just with a friendship. People like my friend Marissa, people like my best friend Brittany, people like my friend Meg, who was on this show. Those people, I can at least attest to that they will still be ride or die for me no matter what, and I love the hell out of them for it. And I've made amazing work with them all. But there are some people who cut me out because of their uncomfort or because I'm weird and I'm how antisocial I am, that cut me off, that is non-excusable, that I just say, you know what, you lost the greatest opportunity of your life to make radio stuff with me. Your loss. So, now that that is dead in the water in the sense of it, I want to talk about another situation that is another importance to me. So, many of you don't know, and I don't want to be too personal, but I had an older brother once before I was born. My mom gave birth to, unfortunately, my older brother, but unfortunately, he was born prematurely. My mother has his ashes in an urn. And due to my mom's living situation right now, she has me bestowed upon the urn. Since I've gotten this urn, which is literally I'm looking at right now, it's been a really harsh moment for me to acknowledge the fact that I'm getting older. And as I'm getting older, it's really harsh for me to deal with the fact of a deep thought. I've been in this curious deep thought ever since March on my existence. I learned when I was younger about the life expectancy at one point was only up to 75, depending on how you take care of yourself, depending on how you do in your condition. 75 is your age range. By the time you're 75, your health starts going down to the point where you are admitting to your passing. It terrifies me of death now. Years ago, when I was younger, when I was still in my early 20s, I was always suicidal. And I'm going to be open about that. Very super suicidal. But at one point, I was very depressed and self-afflicting. And as I've gotten older now, it's more to the point now, I'm scared to die. I've cried. I've been depressed. I've been very dark on many moments of that. I don't know if it's because of the fact that I'm getting older now, of my epiphany of getting old in the age of 40, but it's to a point now that I'm terrified. Because I see my brother's urn, looking at my brother's urn every morning, and I have to see that over and over, and it scares me. Most of the people I'm friends with are younger than me. I only have a few friends who are around my age range, but most of them are younger than me. So they'll never have to deal with this until they get older. But most of the time, it's hard for me to express about how scared I am as I'm older of my existence. At one point, I had to talk to my mom about it. Then I talked to my therapist, and they both told me the same thing. I need to go talk to God more. And I've been praying mostly to that end of it. But at the same time, it still doesn't change the fact of my fear for God. I want to make it very clear that I know my time will be up in expectancy. But that's the thing that scares me. And at one point, I even said to myself, in the case of it, like, what really happens when I die? What is it going to look like? Am I going to be in space? Because I'm claustrophobic, but I'm also terrified of the high, of heights. With my intellectual sense of existence of it, my fear is going up to the sky, is being up in space, overlooking Earth. That's what I'm scared of. And I don't want it to be that. Is heaven really like what you see on TV? That's what scares me. I live with an elder who's almost in his 60s and 70s, and who depending on how his life is, he might be passing soon. His life might not last long, and it scares me that I'm living in that household with this man. My mother is in her 60s, and I'm scared because of her current condition. Every time, where how tired, how stressed she is, I'm scared of the moment she's gone. And I'm even scared of the fact of I don't know if she'll be alive when I finally find a marriage and a family. Because I want her to be the only person left. Just like my aunt was the only person I cared about going to my high school graduation, I want my aunt, my mom to be the only person that I care about coming to my wedding if I ever find that woman in my life that I can marry. These are situations and thoughts that terrify me every single day. Because all I need is, because all I want is a validation of what it's like in the afterlife. What is it like in the afterlife? And my mother at one point had to tell me, you know, she asked me, are you expecting immortality? And I said, I don't know. It does seem like a better option. And she's like, well, then you're going to be on your own. You're not going to have no family, nobody left with you to be on your own. But at the same time, what she also mentioned was the fact of the rapture. And I do believe it comes. I do believe Judgment Day will come when our Lord, which this is the only time I'm going to mention about my religious faith on this podcast. But I need y'all to understand, I am not a Bible thumper. I'm not going to be pushing and shoving down your throats about the Bible. But I will say, I do believe in God. I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in the Lord and our afterlife. I do believe in the rapture and Judgment Day when God, Jesus comes back to earth to bring us to the afterlife. I do believe in that. But there are moments where I've had nightmares of that happening in the most gratuitous way possible because of entertainment in Hollywood. 2012, The Day After Tomorrow, all those movies. It commonly fears. It commonly brings fear in me. So, if anything, this is the one thing that terrifies me to this day. And I only hope that somebody out there will understand of why that constantly terrifies me. And if I'm able to know what is it like in heaven, I wish there was somebody documented who knew what the afterlife is like. What is it like? Is it darkness? Complete darkness? It scares me. It terrifies me. And if it wasn't for the rapture of situations, part of me feels like immortality is what I might provide. And we don't know how science goes later down the line. For all we know, there might be a scientific reason that youth and age can still be acquired. There might be a way of immortality that could actually exist. I don't know. But it terrifies me now of that afterlife. And now I have to try my best every single day to not think about that. At the same time, I was before I turned 40, thinking about dying. If there's any way that makes you less think about dying and suicide, it's the fact of what is afterlife like. So I am no longer that person that you have to worry about in death. I still have my chronic depression. I still feel I'm sad and a lot of stuff of it, but it doesn't. But I no longer have that affection or affliction of wanting to commit suicide or feel death. But I will say, when it comes to depression, in no case of it, it's good to talk to somebody, therapist-wise, a medical professional. It is good to do that, and I strongly advise you do that. I see a therapist every other week. And I would suggest you all do the same. So please understand that. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers for today's episode. I am hoping this deep thought will bring you into consideration on that case of it. If anything, hopefully you guys will Have a good Monday out there with this podcast being up. But at the same time, please, please be aware and be careful out there. If you want to check out me on my social media, I'm all there on I Am Donnie Black on all my social media, including my Instagram. My website, gerardmedia.com, will be under surveillance and maintenance as of right now, but it will be back soon. So make sure you check out my other social medias for my photography work. And if you need to reach in touch with me, please go to my email, which is located as well. But this has been another episode for the House of Black podcast. This has been your formal cat extraordinaire, Donnie Black. I wish you all well. I hope you have an amazing Monday. To those out there who wished me a happy birthday, thank you for your love and support. To those out there who still support me for my work and my stuff, I appreciate all of you more than you know. And say that I love you and I appreciate you. And hopefully, I'll see you down the line. Later days.